Their enemies called them murdering bastards and throat slitters.
The 1st Special Services Force, the Devil's Brigade. It was an elite unit of American and Canadian soldiers formed in 1942 at the height of World War II. Their job? To head out in the dead of night and go after German troops.
We used to blacken our face with grease paint, our hands, stocking cap, your weapon, and a knife. And that was it. As soon as it got dark, we'd go into no man's land between the two forces over here, and we'd raise havoc over there.
Private Herman Kassoff, 87 years old, is the 3rd youngest member of a group known today as the Forerunners of U.S. Special Forces. And for him and his band of brothers, nighttime was the right time.
During the course of the night, what kinds of things would you do?
Well, we used to rouse the Germans. We'd attack their outposts. We'd attack their houses that they used for observation. We'd blow them up. If they were in a foxhole, they surrendered, they got killed.
Sunrise comes, what do you do?
We were back in our place. If it rained, we didn't go.
Why?
You could be seen in the rain.
Lieutenant William S.P. Story says he and the rest of this group of expertly trained fighters put together to go after the German 6th Army was constantly under pressure and enemy fire. But they thrived under that pressure.
With very high casualties.
A lot of shooting. You saw a lot of bad things.
Yes, a lot of fellas being killed, and snipers were prevalent.
And in the documentary, Daring to Die, The Story of the Black Devils, it is noted that Kassoff, Story, and the rest of their unit of 1,800 soldiers, half of them American, half Canadian, the only World War II unit with soldiers from both countries, captured more than 30,000 prisoners in 251 days of combat. The expectations were extraordinary, but the reality of survival was something else.
A call went out across Canada and the United States for lumberjacks, hunters, trappers, hard rock miners, men with experience working in the outdoors under adverse conditions.
It was billed to us as a suicide outfit. We probably wouldn't come back. It was going to be half Canadian, half U.S.
For some, it was a suicide mission. But most of them did return home, and many of the remaining 184 members of the unit gathered in Washington this week to mark the 70th anniversary of their once feared and forever revered organization. They were the toast of the town at the Canadian Embassy.
To the spirit of the 1st SSF, may it live on forever.
Making the toast, Canadian Major General Nicholas Matern, a man who himself is steeped in special ops tradition.
You know, for me, it's an inspiration. That's what it was. These were the first men who kind of put it together. And that set the pace for all of us after that to kind of follow in their tracks. And it always gave us a light, you know, a light that you could fall back on and say, you know, some people have had harder times than maybe we have.
And Sergeant Henley P. Woods Sr. knows something about those hard times.
A German sniper got after me on the 28th of May, 44, and he made contact on the 5th shot.
Where were you shot? What part of your body were you shot?
I was shot in my right groin and thigh. Bam, I hit the ground to the left. Four times I hit the ground to the left. Four times he shot to the right. And after missing me four times, he gave up on me and shot my platoon sergeant in the head. Didn't kill him, but it temporarily paralyzed him.
He's 91 years old and a little fuzzy on some of it, but remembers extraordinary details about how a doctor saved his life.
The sniper that got me caught me in my right groin and thigh, went down my thigh about 6-7 inches, and the doctor laid my thigh open along the path of the bullet to the bone and let it drain for a week. And I said to him, I said, Doc, why'd you butcher me up like you did for? He said, son, you get hit in the foot, gangrene set in, I can take your foot off. You get hit in the leg, gangrene set in, I can take your leg off. Where you got hit, you get gangrene, you're dead before I know you got it. I said, thank you.
There are many remarkable elements about the expertly trained 1st Special Service Force, not the least of which was a little-known fact raised by Lieutenant Story.
The 1st Special Service Force was the first unit to be integrated. We had two black Canadians who volunteered while they were there, and we actively sought them, and so they came over, and I take a great deal of pride in the fact that we beat Harry Truman to the punch.
Not only were there black members of their unit.
You know that the Air Force group that supported us on the Anzio beachhead was black.
Would that have been the Tuskegee Airmen?
Yes.
And in addition to being integrated and supported by African-American flyers, many of the members were of mixed origin, like Private Kassoff.
By the way, I'm half Canadian. My mother comes from Toronto. My dad's from Detroit. I was born and raised in Detroit. But I'm half. It was a perfect outfit for me.
Looking into the aging eyes of these special operations pioneers, you see a special satisfaction for what they've accomplished. And listening to their stories, which one day will have to be told in the third person, you get a genuine sense of how much they appreciated each other then and now.
The Canadians were paid about $45 to $50 a month as a private first class. I was paid about $105 because of the jump pay and everything. So we shared. They'd run out of money. Money between, it was like one family. Didn't make any difference.
Brotherhood.
Brotherhood, absolutely. The Canadians, you couldn't tell a Canadian. Even they lost the way to say out, you know. They even lost that. But they were dressed in American uniforms, carried American weapons. And the whole outfit was like a brotherhood. And it still is.
At the Canadian Embassy, J.J. Green, WTOP News.